Spring football is here, and the Washington State Cougars look fantastic. Hello, everyone, and welcome on into the Pac-12 Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Christian Rao, joined here, Gavin Hyde of UpWest Sports, and we're going to talk the Washington State Cougars. Welcome on back. We're talking about the Pac-12. July 2026 is when the new Pac-12 happens. We're not waiting around. We are back, and we are not going away. Pac-12 Daily is here to stay because spring football is in the air, and Washington State looks great under Kirby Moore in year one. Gavin, I just want to get your initial thoughts. What does this Kirby Moore era look like? Your immediate first thoughts on the new regime in Pullman? Because look, this has been so many times over. I think what this is the third straight year you've had a brand new coach in the spring. Now you got Kirby Moore, and he feels like it's just a new energy in Pullman, in the Palouse.
Yeah, new energy. And also, you're just seeing the buy-in from these players. There's a lot of defensive buy-in that you saw last year under Jimmy Rogers, and respectfully so. Jimmy Rogers, as much as some Coug fans may not enjoy him nowadays, he did a really good job with the defense, and he got some really good buy-in. Well, Kirby Moore is doing that with the entire team. I am so fired up for what Kirby Moore has in store for this team. Offensively, he's went out and got Matt Miller to be the offensive coordinator. He's got Trent Bray, who is a local guy, went to Pullman High School, has been a head coach and a top-notch defensive coordinator at Oregon State. And now we're lucky enough to get him over here and actually take away some pieces with Darius Clemens and some other, some great pieces from Oregon State, and also, still a great running back, Lance McGee, out of Sumner High School. Man, this team is running on all four cylinders in the offseason. I can't wait to see what the spring looks like and also heading into fall.
Yeah, I can't wait. I want to talk about the offense and the defense, and I'll just kind of dive into your thoughts, what you're seeing and hearing so far this spring for Washington State. Want to get to defense in just a little bit. There is a lot to talk about. You just mentioned Trent Bray. We've talked about Trent Bray a lot on this show, but normally in a negative fashion because he was leaving Oregon State in that terrible way that he had to because of how bad the season went last year. But now it's a different look. I want to get to that in just a minute. But first, I'm going to talk about the offense. And obviously, you talked about the coordinators and Kirby Moore being an offensive mastermind as well, being an offensive coordinator himself last year at Missouri. The biggest question, of course, and we can talk about the other weapons, the offensive line in just a minute, but the biggest question is going to be who plays quarterback for Washington State week one in the Apple Cup. They get to play the Washington Huskies, the Apple Cup, in week one of the season. This one's in Seattle. We'll see how that goes. But you got Julian Duggar and Owen Eshelman returning. Zeviakaus not returning, and he was the guy that played quarterback. He ran out of eligibility. But you got two players returning, and then you bring in Caden Pinnick. And I think he's an interesting piece. Big Sky, freshman of the year last year. What's your overall take? What's the vibes you're hearing from this quarterback room? Because it seems super interesting to me under Kirby Moore's first year.
Yeah, this is going to be a hot topic all spring. And I don't know if we're actually going to get an answer. Even after the spring game, I think you're not going to know who this starting quarterback is until sometime in August. I'd be surprised. I'll just put it like that. I'll be surprised if they let you know who the starting quarterback is. You got three really qualified quarterbacks. Julian Duggar has his own way of the way he carries the football, the way he can also pass. We just haven't seen a ton of it in the past. There's a lot to love with Julian Duggar. There's a lot to love with redshirt freshman Owen Eshelman, who comes from Oklahoma, top tier football there. Julian Duggar comes from Pittsburgh, one of the best cities to grow up playing football in. I got to be honest, Pittsburgh is a dominating city when it comes to high school football and everything. There's plenty of other good cities, but I got to mention Pittsburgh. And then you got Caden Pinnick, who's got experience at this level. You got to love what he brings to the table with everything that he's already done at the FCS level. And his style of quarterback, the dual threat quarterback, is very, very popular nowadays. We're seeing it, especially in the Northwest. Cam Ward had the ability to do, he had the dual threat. And then we had John Mateer. And now you got, in that realm, you have Caden Pinnick, who's looking into that. He did get the deal with the truck and everything. So it seems like Caden Pinnick, it's his job to lose. However, it's a battle. And I'm here for whoever is on the other end of it.
from what I'm seeing, that Kirby Moore is playing this one really close to his chest. And he had a really interesting quote after Saturday's, really their first spring scrimmage. He said this, he said, quote, "I think the quarterback presents itself when it does. Sometimes that's in spring ball. Sometimes that's in fall camp. You get in playing situations, you get in the red zone, you get in 2-minute drills, and someone continues to show up through a number of consistent consecutive days. And then it's, hey, there's the quarterback." I think when you look at Kirby Moore, obviously you'd like to trust his judgment on a position that's the most important position on the field. But because of him being an offensive face in the SEC last year, which was no bad offense by any stretch of imagination, Mizzou was a good offense last year. And then, of course, but you have to think about what happened last year, right? What happened last year with spring camp and fall camp with Jimmy Rogers, and what happened with Jackson Potter and Zevi Eckhouse, and there were some blowouts early in the season against North Texas. You know, the Apple Cup didn't end up being very nice to them. I think, you know, Washington scored almost 60 points when the season, or when the game was over. And, you know, there were some turnovers. There were some issues here. So, of course, I think there's a little bit of concern and maybe a little bit of worrisome from the fandom of Washington State, just of who's going to be the signal caller. Do you have that faith in the offensive staff, including Kirby Moore, to get this choice right, to get it right for week one against the Huskies?
Well, here's the other good thing. With all three quarterbacks in the competition and the everything that's kind of boiling down with these three, there was never an anti— I know sometimes it might have kind of come across another way on our channel as anti one and not pro the other, and that's not the case at all. It is pro all three. We happen to mention some negative values to, you know, some games, or just where they can maybe step up, and then positive values and everything. Whoever gets the starting ball, I'm going to have full confidence in. All three are very well-qualified quarterbacks, and I'm excited to see any one of these three guys, you know, jump in suit. Yeah, that's kind of where the quarterbacks are. I wish I could tell you, sit here and tell you Caden Pinnick is going to be our number one, but that would make me, to assume is, you know, the rest. You know, I like all three quarterbacks, and that's what it kind of comes down to, is whoever's given the rock, I think, is going to dominate.
Did you feel the same way last year, that you liked everybody in camp? I know that you were leaning maybe towards a different way when it came to Potter and Eckhouse. Do you feel more confident about the group compared to last year as a whole?
No, honestly, incredible question, because last year I liked Potter. I think he had a high ceiling. I don't think he was quite ready to, you know, take on, you know, 10 plus games in the schedule that we had given. And you saw some bursts. Obviously, he had a great game against a very, very, very good San Diego State team. I thought it was Zevi Eckhouse's to lose, given his you know, ability to play at this level, given his history, and also redshirt seniors. We're seeing redshirt seniors, fifth and sixth and seventh year seniors across the board, all across the nation at every single level, are dominating because they have more experience. They've been around the game a little bit more. So I thought Zevi Eckhouse, it should have been a done deal. It should have been Zevi Eckhouse's ball from the game one. So I was a little frustrated with that, but also, you know, what can you do? You could just sit back and hopefully, you know, they fine tune where they need to go and move forward from there. And as Zevi got in, you started to see a little bit more success. So hats off to Jackson Potter, who ended up going to Old Dominion, by the way.
Yeah, Old Dominion. There you go. Got some ties there for sure. Let's continue and talk about this offense. For the record, though, Upwest Sports is where you can find Gavin Height, but also the podcast for Washington State Cougars, the Palouse Playbook podcast, is where they give you Washington State Cougar content. You can also find me over there every now and again, working with Upwest Sports. So speaking of the rest of the offense, I find that very interesting that a lot of the running backs returned. Some of the mainstays at wide receiver returned. They got some weapons at tight end. Take me through the offensive weapons that, if the quarterback situation is, let's just say, let's assume a question mark, because we're still waiting on who it's going to be. So assume it's a question mark. Can the weapons push the new quarterback along to make this team serviceable against some of these really tough teams inside the new Pac-12 conference?
That question alone, yes. 100%. The weapons that we have the ability to get the job done. And I'll start with the strongest group, in my opinion, which is the running back group. You have everybody's returning, and everybody still has a year of eligibility after this. You got Kirby Voorhees, who can, you know, punch the ball through the line very well. You got Leo Pulalasi, You got Maxwell Woods, and then you got Bo Phillips coming in from Central Washington. You got Lance McGee, who was the Gatorade Player of the Year, who I think is actually going to make an emergence as a freshman. I think he is that good. And I think it's going to be tough to find playing time for all these guys, but I promise you, they're going to find a way. I think there's enough weapons here to utilize in different capacities, whether it be, hey, we need to throw somebody out in the slot and have them run a route, or hey, we're going to utilize you for third down. Hey, we're going to utilize you when it's first and goal, depending on where, or I guess I should say fourth and goal, depending on where the situation may lie. If guys buy in, we have such a deep running back class, or such a deep running back core, I should say. And then our wide receivers are also very good. We got Tank Hawkins coming over from Florida. We got Tony Freeman returning from last year, which I didn't know if we were going to be able to retain him. That guy can play at a very high level. And then we got Darius Clemens, who was, I believe, a former national champion at University of Michigan, and also came from Oregon State with Trent Bray. So the chemistry that's already being built coming in, mixed with the talent level, There's a lot to love. And I got to give a shout out to this offensive line. This offensive line, I think we had five or six guys that are returning from last year that I'm super pumped about. And then we also got some guys coming in, Maximus McCree, who didn't have a ton of playing time due to injury over the past year or two, comes from UW, which you usually don't see that, by the way. We usually don't see UW transferring over to Wazoo. So hats off. Got to love it. We usually see some guys going across the pond the wrong way. So very excited to see what this offensive line can do, and just the weapons. They're very stacked. They're very stacked no matter who's at quarterback.
I feel like if the quarterback situation is right, and is, again, I don't know if it has to be a world beater. It doesn't have to be a John Mateer or a Cam Ward. If they can just be serviceable, I think they can be a really top-ended team inside the Pac-12 based on all the returning value that was brought back to Washington State. You got to remember, this is a team last year that brought in 75 newcomers under Jimmy Rogers, most of them being in the FCS. And in year one, they made a bowl game. They were very close at winning against JMU. They were very close against winning at ranked Ole Miss in Oxford. And they still went 6-6 after losing those games and still having some blowouts at the beginning of the season, including the Apple Cup and against North Texas. So a lot of these are returning. Not everybody followed Jimmy Rogers to Iowa State. So that's really, really interesting. You mentioned some people staying. You mentioned some people following another coach to Pullman, and that's Trent Bray, who was the head coach at Oregon State, was fired, was terminated after a terrible season in Corvallis. There's no other way to look at it. I don't know if all of that is his fault. That's a completely different conversation that we will probably have again at some point on this podcast, but we'll save that for a different day. But he's going to be the defensive coordinator for Washington State, returns to Pullman. He's from the area. So Kirby Moore and Trent Bray, Washington local kids, in the state, being some of the top coaches in the program. This defense, we're getting a lot of word that this defense is surprising very early. So a lot of people thought maybe the offense would take the lead under Kirby Moore, underneath all these weapons that you just talked about, even though there's a question mark at quarterback. But it sounds like the defense is keeping up and holding up to its power after a few days at spring practice. That's got to be exciting.
First and foremost, Trent Bray was a home run hire. You're getting a guy not only that has head coaching experience that can help Kirby Moore in some of those difficult situations, just being a head coach. And granted, he's only got the 1 year as being a head coach at this level, and it still doesn't matter. You have two guys that have that experience kind of attacking the same job. Leslie Frazier, is one that I alluded to with Mike McDonald. Leslie Frazier has been a high level coach in the NFL. Mike McDonald being a brand new head coach, getting some mentorship. And there's no problem with actually admitting that, hey, we need to attack this goal together. But Trent Bray being able to just go straight back to defense, having that, the experience that he has, I have to give a shout out to this defensive line. What they did in the portal is incredible. I can't believe they got this amount of talent on the defensive line. It's going to be rotational. Just from the outside looking in, I don't have I'm not a fly on the wall in those conversations, but they have way too many really, really, really good defensive linemen that they can't, they got to be able to rotate them out. There's that defensive line is going to be a problem for any offensive line. I'll put that up with anybody. And then we're starting to see shades through the spring of the secondary. You know, we got Nylon Brown, we got DJ Warner, you know, stepping back and being a linebacker now when he used to be an edge guy and he used to be a defensive end. And then you got Keith Brown, who's returning, who's a general in my opinion. And then Jalen Thomas is also making waves from the distance, you know, stepping up in a safety role and just making waves out there. But this defensive line, just to note a couple of them, you got Paul Hudson, the third. He's doing a fantastic job. And one of our guys, Joel, who was a former defensive lineman at a very high level, talked about how much he loved watching his film, what he can provide at this level. And then you got Linus Dunk, yeah, Caden Beatty. And then, yeah, there's a ton more. Elijah Tucker is one that's up and coming that I think, you know, might, you know, factor into this rotation that could be good as well. There's just, you know, Blom Miller. The list definitely goes on. Names are still creeping up in my head. There's so many names on this defensive line that are going to be a problem for future offensive linemen.
I love the excitement and I love the optimistic viewpoint, and you're one of a program. And if any program knows how to be optimistic about it, it's Washington State, because they've been through this way too many times over the last couple seasons. But this one definitely feels different, even from an outside perspective, as someone who isn't completely tied to Washington State. Obviously, I've got myself a lot more tied into it over the last couple months, but as more of an outside perspective, it still feels like it's a breath of fresh air compared to how it felt like with the Jimmy Rogers situation, especially the way that that breakup ended with the questions of loyalty and how fast he moved over to Ames, Iowa for Iowa State and the Cyclones there. It just feels different. On the defensive side, a lot of optimistic here, a lot of optimistic views. I'm gonna try and bring you down a level if I can. Is there any concerns? If you had to point at one position or one area on the defensive side that you're maybe a little concerned about heading into week one of that Apple Cup, or at least want to see a little bit more in spring and fall camp, where would you point your finger at?
Man, this is because I don't want to throw any shade at him, but maybe the defensive backs. We've seen Jalen Thomas. I don't know what it's going to look like across the board, how they're going to set things up. It looks like a 4-2-5 setup is what they're going to be aiming to look at. And that's the potential for this defense. And, you know, having the five in the 4-2-5, you just don't know how that's going to set up with the nickel and everything else in place. It's not cause for concern by any mean, but I'm just curious on what it's going to shake out, who's going to play which position, and honestly, who's going to step up from that. Jalen Thomas has been one of the few names. I know Jeremiah Bernard had a pick in one of the practices. His name was kind of tossed around. Just curious on what it's going to look like. But to be honest, no cause for concern. It's just, all right, who's going to step up?
So it's more of a who will break out rather than a position group of who you're concerned about. Okay, interesting. I love the optimistic view. I really do here. So I think it's fair to say that you believe, as we sit right now on April 13th, obviously so close to that September 5th start date against the Huskies, you believe this team is much better than the 6-6 record last year under Jimmy Rogers.
Yeah. You want me to give him a hot take?
Go for it. I love
hot takes. Let's do it. I think this team, especially under good leadership, which has been kind of displayed in some of these pressers, I think this leadership and this new Pac-12, they have a chance to win 10 games. I don't think that's the floor by any means, but I think that there's a 10 plus win team in this group of guys that they got going on right now.
Interesting. That's great. And that's with three really, really tough non-conference games as well, not just with the new Pac-12. Looking at their schedule real quick, obviously they open up against UW in Seattle for the Apple Cup. They go on the road to Kansas State. Duquesne is their game at home, their home opener. And then they play Arizona for their non-conference slate. That one's also at home before you start the new Pac-12, where you start your first new Pac-12 game in Pullman, Kirby Moore's new Pac-12, home opener against Fresno State. Interesting stuff. 10 wins potentially. I love that. Love to hear about that. And if you're a Pac-12 listener that's not Washington State, let them know in the comments, yeah, what you think, Gavin.
I know. I'd love to hear that. Grill me. Because I know that's the other thing I don't want to take away from any other program. I'm so fired up to have this Pac-12 back. If you're a Colorado State fan, if you're a Utah State fan, we want to hear from you because this is now our conference. You're just as much of a part of this as we are. We're so fired up to have you a part of this conference. So let us know your thoughts on what you got for Colorado State, Utah State, all them.
Yeah, you're going to come back on the show. I think you're going to join me for a couple other segments, not just Wazoo over the next couple weeks, because we got to get this show rolling and get going. Before I make sure I don't get myself grilled in the comments, if I said Big 12 instead of Pac-12 just a minute ago, let me go ahead and apologize now, because obviously I was looking at Arizona and Kansas State on the schedule. But, you know, people love to go in the comments, and if they'll, you say one thing wrong, they'll throw it at you. They'll let you know. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode. We're back with the Pac-12 Daily, bringing you content every single day, all the way up till July of 2026, when the true new Pac-12 is officially underway. The Pac-12 Daily is here to stay Monday through Friday, maybe even more, all the way up until the season starts. Gavin, thank you so much. Where can everyone find Up West Sports? And you talk a lot more than Washington State over at Up West Sports.
Yes, and for those of you that don't know, Christian is happily now a part of the Up West family. We are now expanding. We are Up West Sports everywhere. Name a platform. It is at Up West Sports, but we now talk Kraken hockey. We now talk Seattle Seahawks football. We now talk, we have been talking Washington State Cougar football, and then also Seattle Mariners. We have been growing exponentially. Anybody that has been over there, thank you so much for even giving us one view.
Love it. Check out upwestsports.com or check them out over on YouTube or anywhere at Up West Sports. And then while you're there, you can head over, open another tab, go to Pac-12daily.com where you'll find the latest episodes and articles about the new Pac-12. We'll see you later. We'll see you till tomorrow. We got a cool episode tomorrow where we talk about the Oregon State Beavers. We'll see you back here next time right here on the Pac-12 Daily.